Good morning to each one and greetings in the precious name of Jesus. It is a privilege to be here at Tyrone with y'all. Sitting here and seeing some of the faces just amazes me again how time brings changes. Thinking back 20 some years ago, going to Shirksville with some of you, I was a little boy back then and y'all were older. And now you're old and I'm still young. Just time brings changes, so many changes, but I'm so thankful for God's faithfulness, and it's been so good to us through the ages and changes of life. I invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12 for an introduction to the message. Just a little backdrop. If we go back one chapter to chapter 11, we have the familiar story of the Tower of Babel and how that all panned out. And verse 4 tells us what these people's intent was. It says, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And if we go back farther yet to the time after the flood, soon after the flood, God told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So that's a picture of, you know, scattering, going forth, replenish the earth. And for them to gather together here and build this tower, try to make a name for themselves, in my mind seems to be going directly against what God had told them to do. And the very thing that they didn't want to see happen, happened. They got themselves a name. Their city was named Babel. And the very thing that they didn't want to happen was being scattered. And God scattered them by confounding their languages and just bringing chaos through all of that. And they couldn't understand each other, and they scattered. And we come to chapter 12 and the first few verses, and we see that God had a desire to make Abram's name great. What a contrast. Us making a name for ourselves versus God making someone's name great. And I would like to read these first three verses of chapter 12. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." First of all, God commanded Abram to leave home. How easy is it for us to leave home, especially when we don't know where we're going? But here he was asked to leave home, his family, his father's house, and go to a place where God was going to show him. And if Abram obeyed God, then God was going to make of him a great nation and bless him and make his name great. So we can sum this up by saying that as long as Abram followed God with all of his heart, God was going to bless him. And then what? God said that he, Abram, would be a blessing, and that all the families of the earth will be blessed through him. And that's what I'd like to focus on this morning. And I titled the message, Blessed to Bless. And this message is not at all about getting, but about giving. Why does God bless us? What does he want us to do through that blessing that we receive from him? I think there are some powerful things we can learn from this covenant that God made with Abram. God called Abram. God called us. He calls us and wants us to follow him in obedience. He wants us to leave all to follow him. Matthew 22:14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." God calls many people, but so few are willing to go the whole way with God. And I believe God really wants to bless us, and he has a purpose for wanting to do that. He wants to pour himself through us. He wants to be our God and Lord. He wants to change us so he can use us for his glory. And God receives glory as we become that channel of blessing for him. He blesses us, and through that we bless others, and God is glorified. And what really happens is we unlock a much more fulfilling life when we have a proper perspective of God's blessing on our lives and what he wants us to do with that. Acts 20, the second part of the verse, verse 35, says it's more blessed to give than to receive. This tells us that the giver is more happy than the receiver. The man who lives to gain all he can and hoard all he gains is one of the most miserable men. I think a lot of us probably have learned that. Just a bunch of gain, getting, does not make a person happy. There's so much pleasure in giving when it's done with pure motives. God told Abraham, that others were going to benefit from him being blessed by God. And that's what I want us to grasp this morning. And it's not about lifting ourselves up, but about lifting God up. We are not here on this earth to live it up for ourselves. We are here to prepare for eternity and bless others, help others to see who God is and help them to glory. And yeah, just reading about Abraham, we see that God had great confidence in Abraham. And I believe also if we follow God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, there will be something within us that's going to come out. And I appreciated the devotional so much this morning. What does a Christian look like? 1 John 4:21 says, "He who loveth God loveth his brother also." There are two things I want to highlight before we look at some practical ways to bless. Number one is God is the source of all blessing. Outside of God, there is no blessing. And I think sometimes we tend to forget, or maybe I tend to forget, where true blessing comes from. Like it's something that we can get of ourselves, that we can attain. But it's not that way. God is the source of all blessing. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Without him, we have nothing to offer by way of blessing. Let's remember that. Number two, we find greatest blessing in surrender to God. After God asked Abram to leave, verse 4 says, we didn't read that verse, but it says, "So Abraham departed." Just clear surrender, obedience to the will of God. And I mentioned briefly about what happened at the Tower of Babel when these people took things into their own hands. And we know the story did not result in blessing. It resulted in chaos, frustration, ruined plans. And we can expect that if we want to live outside of God's plan, live outside of God's will. God's promise of blessing to Abram was conditional. God called him to leave home and all that he knew and go to a place where he was alone was going to show him. And I'm sure the separation from family was not easy. It wouldn't be easy for anyone. But this covenant was only good if Abram did his part. We know that God never fails in his promises, his covenant. We know that God was going to do his part. But it was up to Abraham to fit into that plan. We may ask the question, well, what do we mean by these blessings? And that's a sermon in itself, and I'm not planning to go there. But I want us to just think about all that God does give us in terms of spiritual blessings. We are such a blessed people. To think that God so loved us that he gave his only son for us. We were sinners, but God loved us. And because of these rich spiritual blessings that we have because of Jesus, we are accountable people. And because of what Jesus has done in our hearts, we have a lot to offer to others. I'd like to read verses, some verses from 2 Corinthians 9. Verses 6 to 11. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." In verse 11, this verse brings out this thought of bless to bless. And I like to read it in the Amplified. It says, "Thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way, so that you can be generous, and your generosity as it is administered by us will bring forth thanksgiving to God." So there we see blessed to bless, and God is glorified. And we just have so much work to do to be those channels of blessing for God. What we sow is what we will reap. If there's not much outflow to others by way of blessing, we will miss a lot a blessing that comes from blessing others. And is it willingly or grudgingly? I'd like you to think about that as we go through the message. Have we found joy in being cheerful givers? All right, let's think about some practical things here. Number one, look for opportunities to bless amidst obstacles. Now, thought about the story of Joseph, familiar story. And we know that Joseph had a very difficult life. In the early years of his life, we know that his father Jacob and his grandfather Laban were at odds with each other. Later, he learned of conflict between his father and his uncle. We know the story of his sister being defiled and his brothers becoming extremely angered. We know that his mother died when Benjamin was born. His brothers were immoral. They had an unhappy home life. Think about the time when his brothers didn't like his dreams and they treated him very roughly through all of that. We remember, of course, when he was sold into Egypt by his brothers. And yet we never see any proof that he held a grudge or became bitter for how he was treated in Egypt. He was falsely accused and then put in prison. And as I think about looking for opportunities to bless amidst obstacles, I noticed something in Joseph. Through all of these injustices, you could say, that he faced in life, we don't have any record that he played victim. When he could have felt like he was cursed because of all that he faced, instead he endeavored to look for opportunities to serve and to bless in whatever situation he was in, even when he was away from home and family in a strange land. Even when he was in prison, we know that he was put in charge of the rest of the prisoners, and it says he was well favored, which tells me he was being a blessing where he was in that situation. And I wonder how this story would have ended, or how it would have been different if Joseph would have become bitter. Somehow, Joseph seemed to understand that God was still good. He seemed to understand that even in spite of all that he faced in life, God was still blessing him with a lot of things. And he understood his call to live for God even in these unfortunate situations. Through his faithful service, he was put in a position which ultimately saved many people from famine, including his own family. The hardest times to see our blessings and to be a blessing is when everything seems to be going wrong. I don't know how you find it in your life, but I found that to be very true in my life. And somehow see beyond that can be a challenge. Sometimes these situations are, or maybe I should say, maybe this ties into the Sunday school lesson, are arranged by God to get us into a position to bless where we may not have been able to otherwise. And I think we see that in Joseph's life as he was taken through all those injustices, if we want to call them that, and how he was in the end able to save his family and be reconciled to his brothers. I don't know what you may be facing in your life, but whatever we are facing, we dare not play victim. Let's understand that God is sovereign and endeavor to live and be a blessing in whatever situation we are in. God wants us to find blessing even in those moments and seek ways to bless. And believe me, we can find a lot of excuses and obstacles to keep us from blessing others, but we dare not. Let's move beyond the victim mentality in those moments of stress and busyness and look for opportunities to be a blessing. Number two, give your undivided attention. Years ago, maybe this wasn't so much of an issue. I'm sure it was, but maybe in different ways. We live in a digitally distracted day and age. Today, it's actually a tremendous gift to give the person you are with your undivided attention. Just a little happening. One day, our family was at Subway, and we were in line for our sandwiches, and there was a fellow behind us that had already ordered his sandwich, but he was waiting for it, and he was on his phone, and I think the clerk called his name several times. He just was not paying attention. He was very much connected to his cell phone, and finally someone behind him had to get his attention, but there he was, not at all aware of the happenings around him, who was talking to him, and was distracted. How often is that you and me? How often are we unaware of what is happening around us or the needs that are right in front of us? Another day I was at a flower shop, and I waited for a while till the owner was able to show me where a certain flower was. I know him personally, so I wanted to wait till he was free to be able to have him help me find what I wanted, and finally he was available. But as we were walking down the aisle, his phone rang, and for the next 5 minutes he was on his phone trying to talk to me about the flower and tried to talk to the customer at the same time on the phone. And sometimes I wasn't sure if he was talking to me or if he was talking to the fellow on the phone. And at that point I felt like I deserved undivided attention. And I'm sure that I have so much room to grow in that area as well. I wonder how often we fail in giving our undivided attention to the people we are with. Maybe you don't struggle with that. And it's not always the phone that stands in the way. It could be other things. Maybe it's a customer that takes a lot of patience and he just talks and talks and you know you have a schedule to meet. Maybe it's your son or daughter that is talking and your mind and heart are loaded with the cares of this life and you're only half there and you miss most of what they're saying. You see, what I'm saying is we can miss opportunities to bless when we're caught up in our own world, bogged down by our own cares and struggles, and miss what's in front of us. Maybe it's our spouse that needs our undivided attention. Maybe it's God who needs more of our undivided attention. We don't make people feel very important when we only give them half of ourselves. And I know of people in my own life who have always been good listeners. And you could tell that they wanted to hear what you had to say. They were interested in your life. And they gave you your undivided attention. And there's something that is healthy about that type of sharing, when you can give each other your undivided attention and share in that way. Jesus was a great example of this. I invite you to turn with me to Mark 5. Mark 5, verses 25 to 34. A familiar little story here. It says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague.'" Jesus knew someone had touched him and needed him. And his disciples thought he was crazy, but Jesus didn't allow them to stop him from looking for this woman. In the midst of a multitude and likely a lot of noise and commotion, Jesus gave this woman his undivided attention and blessed her for her faith. Jesus could have ignored her. After all, she was healed. But Jesus was much more personal than that. With the multitude of things pressing upon us in our busy world, will you and me give the people who need us our undivided attention? It could make the difference between life or death. In Psalm 115, verse 6, the psalmist described the heathen as a people who have ears, but they hear not. And I don't know, maybe I'm taking it out of context. But it was Abraham, it was God working through Abraham that made him a blessing. So I believe we need to be in tune with God and heed the Spirit's prompting in relating to those around us. Matthew 11:15 is another verse where Jesus says, "He that ears to hear, let him hear." James 1:19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Giving our undivided attention puts us into a position to show interest, be a help, encourage, and bless others. Number three, be hospitable. God didn't create us to be hermits. We live in a culture that I believe is becoming more and more individualistic. You live your life, I'll live my life. And if we're not careful, we can become that way ourselves. Become too busy, too closed, that others are pushed out of our lives. In Romans 12, there's a list of things that mark a true Christian. And verse 13 says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. The first part of this verse suggests that we should regard our possessions as a common supply to help those in need and to bless others with. In other words, be the kind of person who is willingly sharing and sharing and sharing what he has been blessed with. Given to hospitality. This speaks of willingness and cheerfully entertaining guests, whether they be among our own friends or strangers. Hospitality doesn't stop with just those we know. 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. It might be easy for us to think that hospitality is a gift that some have and others don't, and therefore we're excused. Hopefully that's not you, and I'm not worried. I think we'll find lunch somewhere. But, yeah, I don't see that anywhere in the scriptures. God says that if you're a Christian, if you love the Lord, you'll love your brother, and you'll be a hospitable person. When we open up our homes to bless, we find a blessing that we would not have found otherwise. And maybe this is more for the women, but maybe there's a tendency to put too much emphasis on having just the right things on hand to be able to host people. Have the perfect food. And that kind of mentality can hinder hospitality. Hospitality is about good fellowship, not perfection. And there's nothing wrong with having toasted cheese sandwiches and have company over. I feel more at home with simple menus. Maybe I'm an oddball. But as we willingly open up our homes, it gives us opportunity to fulfill Hebrews 3:13, where it says, exhort one another daily while it is called today. Today is a day full of opportunities to bless, right? And we have, as long as God gives us life and breath, we have those opportunities to bless, exhort. Let's seize those opportunities. Number four, smile often. Very simple point. This is possibly one of the easier ways to bless someone, but maybe we don't even use this one enough. I found it interesting that children smile approximately 400 times per day, and adults smile an average of 20 times per day. I guess those numbers are true. But somewhere, somehow, between childhood and adulthood, we lose 380 smiles. Maybe this doesn't describe you, but I think it's something for us to think about. Are our lives that glum that we can't smile? Scientifically speaking, a smile reduces stress by suppressing cortisol. And cortisol is our body's main stress hormone. Our adrenal glands, triangle-shaped organs at the top of our kidneys, make cortisol. And cortisol helps fuel our body's fight and flight instincts in a crisis. Too high of cortisol can create health problems. So a smile has health benefits and can help us control our reactions. But we know that there's many other things that can help control that as well. I don't want to undermine God's Spirit to guide us as well. But even beyond the physical, a smile blesses others tremendously. Go through Walmart sometime and make the, just try to see how many people you can make smile. It's something that's a lot of fun. Some you have to work really hard. Some you can't get to smile. And others willingly give you a smile in return. Well, the word smile is not found in Scripture, but there are verses that certainly point to it. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. This word merry means glad, happy, and joyful. Deuteronomy 16:15 shows us that the blessings of the Lord leads to great joy. Can you have great joy inside of you with it not showing on your face? Hardly. So as we realize that what God has done for us and given to us, we find joy. And none of us are exempt from experiencing the blessings of the Lord. So the joy of the Lord makes for a cheerful countenance. Job said in chapter 9, verse 27, "If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself." And the Amplified says, "I will forget my complaint, be of good cheer, and brighten up." It seems like Job made a deliberate choice to put off his complaining and replace it with cheer. And there are times in life where we need to do that. We can't go through life just being glum and complaining about why life isn't going the way I want it to, or why this happened, or why that happened. There are times where we need to make that deliberate choice to replace complaining with cheer and brighten up. Sometimes smiling in itself can change our outlook on life, and certainly will bless those around us. The psalmist asked God to help him. Psalm 119:135 says, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes." In Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." God has given us the blessing of being able to smile. And scriptures tell us that it has healing capabilities. It does good like a medicine. It blesses. It helps. And I don't believe he means that it will do us good only, but has a way of influencing others and bringing joy to others. Lastly, number 5, fill your life with acts of kindness. You know, if we don't reach out and bless others, we become very stagnant and self-centered. When I don't look around me for opportunities to bless, most likely I'm looking at myself. We can't be only on the receiving side. One day, the neighbors gave a glass dish of chocolate-covered strawberries. We love strawberries. We enjoyed them very much. And Libby was going to send the children back over with the glass dish, but she wanted to put something on it for them, and the children didn't think it was necessary. And no, it wasn't necessary, but there was an opportunity to be able to bless. And we need to look for those opportunities, seize those opportunities. Look for ways to bless. Take time as a family to go visit. Sing for the older folks as families. Don't wait just for cottage meeting. Our family enjoys singing for our neighbors, and it's just a joy to see their faces light up. We need to bless each other in our homes as well. Sometimes in our own homes, there can be the most friction. Live by example. Small acts of kindness are ways to show love and care. Sometimes it means playing a game with your son or daughter. Sometimes reading them a story. Sometimes getting out of bed at night to tend them. In the church, there are many ways to bless. We are blessed with technology. Show interest and care through sending messages of encouragement. Make meals to help out. Give of your time to help with work projects. Offer to help someone who could use a lift. And of course, there's always ways to help financially as well. There are always needs everywhere and opportunities to show that we care. And I'll let you all fill in the cracks. I feel like I'm only touching the iceberg. But in reality, God has blessed us not just to make us happy, but to pass on that blessing and to be that channel of blessing to reach others. And I want us to think about that seriously this morning. Where do we find ourselves? Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. But with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." The blessings we receive from blessing others is inevitable. And maybe this shouldn't be our goal, but it really is a rewarding life. God says, give, and you're going to get something back. Let's be a people who daily recount the blessings God has given us. And let's never allow ourselves to feel victimized, like we deserve something better. But with what God has given us, let's carry it on to others around us and be a blessing. Be a tool in God's hands. Be a tool in His kingdom. Let's bless others, even when we're in the toughest times of life. And let's remember that ultimately is to bring glory to our Maker, our Creator, not to ourselves. Let's kneel for prayer.